Stand your feet with me. Let's welcome Pastor Manuel Yanez.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Praise God. It's an honor to be here with Pastor Jack and just share the word of God. Amen. It's been a good 16 years. Praise God. Of seeing the our lives grow in the things of God and the persevering and the, like I said, Mel, most people would have Pastor was talking about a little bit in the morning, but most people would have given up and said, forget that. But that's one thing I learned from Pastor Callahan and the vision that he shared, that I said one time going to a church, I've been in church where there's nobody in church, just my family and ourselves. Amen. And I said to the Lord, Lord, it doesn't matter to me. It's not about the numbers. It's about the quality. And I said, Lord, I'll preach to one like I'll preach to 1,000. Amen. I remember asking one man a long time ago, I said, about a church that was in California at the time that was thriving. And I said, hey, how's that church? Because he lived over there. He lived in that area. Oh, man, he's this big. It's a lot of people. I said, but out of all that people that are in there, how much quality is in the church? And he stayed quiet for a moment. And that's what we're looking for. We're not looking for the numbers. We're looking for the quality for disciples of Christ. True followers in the last days, especially in these last days where God, you know, is putting us all together. Amen. I always, you know, when we go to churches, the first question they ask is how many people are in your church? The numbers, they're looking at the numbers. And I said, well, how many do you got? And they said, well, we got 50. And I said, well, that's 100 of us all together now. And this one says, well, I have 300. Well, that's 350 of us together. Because we're one body in Christ. Not just one body, one here or there. We're all one body. Amen? And so that's the understanding that I've always got from the Lord. Amen? So I never say that I have a small church. Amen? We're a big body in Christ. Amen? And that's the way we got to look at things. That's faith speaking. Amen? We got to walk by faith. Amen? I want us to go to 1 Corinthians. Amen? And when we get there, we're going to pray. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. God is faithful. I'm excited about the word rally. I mean, every year we get excited. Amen. We get excited because we know God's going to do something new every time. God's going to bring something fresh every time. Amen. And we love all the speakers. Amen. I think Pastor Callahan has a big challenge because he has so many ministers that he can use to minister the word of God. Amen. So when we are selected, it's an honor and it's a privilege. And it's because God put us there. Amen. And 1 Corinthians, you know, it's chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. Amen. Let's pray first. Amen. Father, I thank you as we come before your presence. Father, thank you for being in your presence all this time, Father. Lord, because the moment we walked in, you were already here with us, Father. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word, Father, will come forth, Father, to your people, Father, with understanding, with the simplicity of your word. And Father, life will be changed. Father, I pray, Father, today, Father, Lord, that there will be miracles and signs, Father, by your word. You said you would confirm your word after they taught the word, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for those miracles that will happen. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you prepare our hearts to receive everything you have through us, through your word, Father. Lord, let me be a vessel for your honor, for your glory, Father. And Lord, as we stand, Father, before you, Father, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and in verse 13, it says, watch you, amen, or watch ye. And it says, stand fast in the faith, amen. Equip you like men, be strong. And he says, and let, verse 14, let all your things be done with what? Charity or love, right? That's the King James charity, amen. The New Living Translation says, be on your guard. Stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love. I like also the Message Bible. It says, keep your eyes open. How many of we got to keep our eyes open? And it's not talking of just the physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes, to be able to discern what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to tell us, especially in these last days. The Bible says that the Spirit speaks expressly that in the last days, many will fall away from the faith. Many will fall because of peril times, because of tribulation, because situations that are come against the church are going to cause many, many. The Bible says that even the very elect will be deceived if they're not careful. So we got to have our eyes open to the understanding of what the Word says, right? So it says, keep your eyes open, hold tight to your convictions. How many of us got to hold tight to our convictions? Amen? Real tight, especially in this last day, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to try to tell you different. Otherwise, change your mind, and you got to be strong. Amen? To be able to resist, to be able to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? He said, be strong. And he says here, be hold tight to your convictions, excuse me. He said, give it all you got. I like the Message Bible. Give it all you got. We got to give it all we got, especially in these last days. Amen? Nothing left behind to wonder, what if I could have done this? Or what if I should have done this? No, I did it. I fought the good fight of faith. I finished my course. In other words, I did what God called me to do. In other words, I gave it all I got. I didn't leave nothing behind. Amen? And he says here, be resolute, be determined and unwavering. And again, he says, love without stopping. In other words, notice in the midst of the trials, you keep your love walk in check all the time. As you're walking the trials and as you're battling whatever you might be or whatever might be coming against you, he says, make sure your love walk is in line all the time. And that's one of the things we got to do, right? Because those are the times where we want to say things we shouldn't say, talk things we shouldn't talk. And so we step out of love. We step out of the perfect love of God. The Bible says the perfect love casts out what? Fear. Amen? And love is perfected, right? So he says when we walk in that perfect love of God, we shall not fear what man can do to us. We can't fear what the devil is doing or what is going on over here. We're not going to fear. Why? Because we walk in that perfect love of God. And that, in other words, in that perfect understanding of the word, of the realm of the word of God, that God got, I think my daughter put that one time on Facebook, that he says, God's got your back. Amen? How many of God has got our back? Amen? If we fall, he'll catch us. Amen? Whichever way, amen? He's always going to be there, amen? Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. Praise God. It says, don't be, this is the voice, amen. It says, don't be paralyzed in any way by what your opponents are doing. Amen. This is not the time, as my wife would say it, this is not the time to freak out. Amen. This is not the time to trip out, fall out, because of what your opponent is or what the enemy is doing or whatever strategy he thinks he has before us. He says, don't be in any way paralyzed by what he's doing. In other words, that's fear. Fear paralyzes. Amen. Just like when Goliath came before the people of God. And the Bible said that he would terrorize them day by day, until the Bible said that faith arose, which is David. Amen. One morning he got up and said, go visit the brothers. And when he went to battle, he found out that this Goliath was standing up and defying the armies and God. Remember that? And David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defiles our God and our people? And they said, word got around, right? And they went and told King Saul, we got a guy there, you know, whippersnapper doing talking faith or that is saying, who's this guy? And so they brought him before Saul. Remember that? And what did David say? When a lion came, when a bear came, and when something come up, I would always, why? Because God was with me. And just the way God took care of me then, he'll take care of me now. And so he put him before Goliath. Remember that? And we know the story. He defeated Goliath. But the Bible says before David showed up or before faith showed up, the Bible said these people were paralyzed. They would tremble every time Goliath come, because they were looking at the man, the tall, and the Bible thing said they had six fingers in each of his hands and his feet. No, he wasn't a normal man. He was abnormal. He must have been some really scary dude, especially when you're looking at him as 9 feet tall, right? 10 feet. That can be terrorizing, right? So they were afraid. What happened? Fear paralyzes. But faith, amen? You know, if you heard, right? Faith puts you forward. Fear puts you in reverse. Amen? So whenever we stand in fear, what happens? It pushes us more back. But faith will catapult us forward. And that's what we want to do in the last days, amen? He said, don't be paralyzed in any way by what your opponents are doing. He said, your steadfastness faith in the face of opposition is a sign that they are doomed, not you. They're in trouble. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, God says, I will be an adversary to your adversaries. I will be an enemy to your enemies. In other words, they can't rise against you because the Bible says, when God rises, let his enemies be scattered. When God arises, how does God arise? When we make him arise in us. And we say, greater is he that is in us, the he that is in the world. That way you can't touch what God don't allow. And I'm not going to allow you. Why? Because I keep hold. I hold on to my convictions. God, you said, your word declares. And when you declare the things of God, the enemy has to back down. Why? Because you're standing your ground. And that's my title. Don't back down. Stand your ground. The Bible says, stand lest you what? Fall. But you don't have to fall. You got to stand your ground. Amen? And especially in these last days, we're going to have to learn to fight. No more relaxing. Amen? You know, the church has been relaxing for too long. And you know why the government and all this situation? Because the church allowed it to some degree. Because we became relaxed. And now the church wants to do something. And it's like, oh, what do we do now? Well, praise God. The revivalists are going to show them how to do it. Amen? The ones that have been pressing in, the ones that have been seeking after God, the ones that have been standing their ground and fighting all the seers and telling them, that's not right. That's not right. John the Baptist kept declaring to that man, the king, he said, what you're doing is not right. He was a man of righteousness. He stood up and said, that's what you're doing is wrong. You're living wrong. You got your brother, sister. That's wrong. You're living in adultery. It's wrong. Right? God is raising up people of righteousness, people that will stand for the word and say, this is wrong. You don't say love, love, this is love. We got to love everybody. Yes, you got to love everybody, but doesn't mean you have to accept their sin. When Jesus forgave the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, remember that? She was caught in the very act of adultery. The Bible says that Jesus forgave her, but he also told her, go and sin no more. He loved her. He showed her his compassion, his love, the true agape of God, but at the same time he said, go, don't sin no more. In another version, he said that there was another man that was also sick. The Bible said he was paralyzed. He couldn't get into the water. Remember that? He said that he couldn't get in. Jesus says, how come, what's going on? He says, well, I try to get into the water, but before I get in, I can't. Because before then, he said there was an angel that would come out and stir the waters. And the first one that would jump in the pool would get healed. He said, but I don't have nobody to pull me in. So by the time I get in, it's too late. Amen. And the Bible said that Jesus prayed for him. And he got totally healed. Later on, he finds out that who he was because he didn't know who Jesus was. He just was talking to a man and found out that he was Jesus. And Jesus told him the same thing. He says, go and sin no more lest something worse comes upon you. Amen? So God loves, but he don't accept the sin. That's why Jesus came to abolish sin. Amen? And take care of sin once and for all. Amen? Praise God. And look what it says here in Philippians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Well, let me finish off what it says in Philippians. Excuse me. He said, they're the ones that are doomed and that you have been graced with God's salvation. And you've been graced with God's salvation. You're the one. Amen? You know, the Bible says that to when we go out and preach the word to the ones that get saved, it's a sweet-smelling aroma to them. But to the ones that hate it, it's like a stench. There's people that hate the word. Why? Because it stands everything against what they believe in. But the word also stands against what they believe in too. Pastor was just talking about this person that is suing, you know, the Bible makers and all those that wrote the Bible, homosexuals that wrote, because of all the stuff that is in the Bible. Well, I thought they said that in the Bible never talked about that. They were debating, oh no, the Bible never talks about homosexuals. The Bible never talks about this or never talks about that sin. But yet now they're suing because it's in there. All of a sudden it's in there. Before it wasn't there. You see that? Crazy stuff. I was telling Pastor Jack during lunch that where we live at, well, praise God for Texas, for our governor Abbott, that he signed a decree that they couldn't sue or they couldn't do anything against the clergy. And he was telling me that that's not only there, but all over the United States. Praise God for that. Amen. You see how God is always ahead in everything? When the enemy thinks he's got an upper arm, God has always got another one ahead of him. And always will, amen? Because the Bible says where sin abounds, grace overabounds every time. Amen? They're gonna keep doing what they're doing, but it doesn't matter. It shouldn't faze us. We just got to keep on track with what God has called us to do. Amen? We're on assignment. How many of we're on assignment? Especially this last days, we're on assignment. And we got to stay. And like I was saying this morning, too many Christians are too focused on what all that stuff is going on, and it's not that you shouldn't pay attention. Pastor was just talking about the blood moons and all that, and I told one lady, that's good that you know all those things, but you better be saved. Make sure your life is right before God. Because you're not going to go before God and say, well, I knew about the blood moon. And I knew this was going to happen. That's not enough. Amen. You better know where you stand before God. Amen. So let's go here in Ephesians. Look what it says in the voice. I'm going to read the voice. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. He says, so be careful how you live. How many of we got to be careful how we live? Paul said that he preached, he said that he was careful that at the end he wouldn't have lost out himself. That after preaching to everybody, at the end he wouldn't lose his own salvation or his own soul. Amen? So he had to keep himself in check all the time. Remember 2 Corinthians tells us, examine if you're in the what? Faith. Examine yourself. You see, too many times we try to examine everybody else and we forget to examine the ones that was more important. It's us. He says, examine if you're in the faith, if you're still walking in faith. In the book of Revelation, that was sharing with you, Revelation 3:10, when he's talking to the churches, one of the problems with one of the churches is, you have a lot of good things going on, but you've forgotten one thing. You've forgotten your love. Your love walk is not right. It's not right. He says, look for he says, see where thou art fallen. In other words, see where you started falling away from love. Because then what happened was they became a judgmental church instead of a loving church. And they were judging everything wrong. Amen. Instead of judging rightly in the word of God. Amen. And that's what happened. Praise God. Look what it says. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. So be careful how you're living. Be mindful of your steps. You notice it doesn't say the steps of others. It says be mindful of your steps. He said, don't run. Okay, don't get mad at me. This is what the voice says, okay? He said, don't run around like idiots as the rest of the world is doing or does. I mean, there's a lot of idiots out there doing crazy stuff. The government is doing some idiot, stupid things, right? And we're just like, what is wrong with these people's head? Well, we know. They're being influenced. They're being demonic spirits and all that kind of mess out there. But he said, don't run like they run. The Bible said that the people of the world marvel that we don't run in the same pace they do. Amen? They marvel that we don't do the things. Oh, how come you don't? Yeah, you got to do this. You got to. No, I don't have to do anything. I do what the Word of God says. The Word is the absolute Word. Amen? It's the truth, and that's it. Stand by the Word of God. What does God say? And if God said it, that's what we're going to do. Don't change it. I was sharing with you that Pastor was telling him at lunch that a lot of churches down where we live at, close by, maybe a couple of towns away, they've already, even before it happened, they were already accepting it. Well, we're going to marry them. We don't have no problem with that. We're going to accept them. God never said about accepting. The Bible says rebuke, correct, instruct, right? Of course, with love, but do it in the Word of God. Amen? And they're allowing all this stuff in the churches. And they're infiltrating the churches and all that. You know what I'm saying? I told you, I think I shared with you at the railroad, I shared that there's an area in San Antonio where you can walk in and the praise and worship is awesome, they say. I have never been to that church. They worship God. They praise God, you know, all that kind of stuff. But then when the man gets up there, he introduces his husband, not his wife. And in fact, he goes on to say, and there's my wife, my former wife. And next to her is her girlfriend. And they got all the motions and all the features of being a charismatic church. But they're in error. You see? The Bible says, watch how you live. And so they're taking a lot of the scriptures and, oh, we don't want that part. We put that aside. They've watered down the Word of God. They've compromised the Word of God. You say, well, how come you guys don't have a big church? Because, you know, a lot of times we don't have a big church. And we know what the vision of God has given us. But because nobody wants to stay under that teaching. Because the Bible says they don't want to come to the light, lest the light what reproves what they're doing wrong. They don't want to hear that they're living wrong. They don't want to hear, just leave me alone. I'll bring you my tithes and my offering. Just don't tell me that I'm living wrong. I'm sorry. I love you too much not to tell you. I'm going to tell you the truth because the Word tells me I got to tell you. The Bible says that it's my responsibility to tell you the truth. Now, what you do after that, that's up to you. I tell my church people, what you do after that, that's up to you. But it's my responsibility as a pastor and the leader of the church to tell you what the Word of God says. If you're living wrong, you're living wrong. And you got to make a decision. Amen? Praise God. Proverbs 24. Amen. I was sharing this in the morning. He says, for if a just man falls 7 times, he rises up again. Amen. For a just man or a righteous man shall fall 7 times, yet he rises up again. See, when you got understand righteousness, it doesn't mean that just righteous, okay, I'm just going to keep sinning. We make mistakes. But the righteous rises up again and again. In other words, you don't stay there, you don't know how to stay, you don't know how to stay down, you know, when they fight and say, stay down. My brother was that type of person. When he would get into a fight, he would always get into, before he got into a fight, he would tell the person he was going to fight, he said, if you're going to knock me down, make sure I'm down. Because when I get up, I want to come at you again. And that was enough to intimidate whoever got it was enough to intimidate him to say, you know what, you're crazy, I'm not going to fight you. Sometimes we got to tell the devil, you know what, devil, you might knock me down, but you better make sure, because when I get up, I want to come at you again. And I'm going to come at you again. And I'm going to come at you again. Amen. I was watching a video of a billy goat, and it was a big old bull. It was a massive bull. It was on Facebook the other day. And I was sharing it with the church, and I said it was funny because the bull, you know, it's a whole lot stronger than the little billy goat, and but they were butting heads. And then the big bull would hit it, and it would push the little billy goat backwards. And then the billy goat would move backwards, and then he would come back and hit him again. And he wouldn't even face the bull. He would just, I mean, didn't even budge him. And the bull would hit him again and push him off again. And he did that about a couple of times. But the little billy goat was persistent. And he kept hitting him and hitting him. And about the fourth time, the bull said, I mean, if he could think and talk, he probably said, man, I'm not going to, can't get this guy out of my way. No matter how much times I push him down, he's coming at me. You know what? I'm just going to leave you alone. Took off. And the billy goat kept chasing him around. That's what we got to do. Amen to the devil. In other words, we got to show the devil who is in charge. Amen. But not because we, but who's in us. Amen. And that we take our authority and we walk in that righteousness. Amen. So you might fall 7 times, but you know what? You get up again. Amen. You might go through times where you might be discouraged, but you get up again. You get yourself encouraged again. Amen. Because there's nobody I said this in the church, there's nobody that can motivate you more better than yourself. Amen. Your greatest motivator is yourself. Well, Pastor Jack is my motivator. And yes, we do have motivators. But the best one is who? Yourself. Amen. That's why Paul said to Timothy, he didn't tell him, well, let me go pray for you. He said, no, he said, stir up the gift that is in you. You stir it up. You got to stir it up. In other words, you got to motivate yourself and get back in line with what God has told you to do. Don't be intimidated by that you're a young pastor and that you're barely starting, or people are thinking that you're too young or whatever to preach. He said, you do your part. Do the work of your ministry. Right? He said, but you have to stir it up. Why? Because Timothy was going through a point in his life that he felt like, what do I do now? Amen? He felt a little intimidation or whatever it might have been. Amen? But Paul tells him right away, he said, you know, stir up the gift. Amen? I was teaching our church in the Bible. You know, as the Bible says in Leviticus, that God put the fire, amen? And then it was the priest's job to bring the wood every morning. Every morning he had to bring in the wood and keep the fire going. Amen. So I tell people, you know, that's tremendous. He says, God will ignite the fire in us, but it's our job to maintain the fire. It's our job. Well, God, just give me more of your fire. Well, it's our job to keep that fire going. And how do we keep it? Keeping our nose in the book. Keep ourselves in the Word. Amen. If you stay in the Word, you'll never fall out. You'll never break out. You'll never go through. I mean, I'm not saying you're never going to go through another battle, but you'll have the victory in the battle because you know what the Word of God says. And it's like he says, at the end, we win. You know, they say when the devil reminds you of the past, you remind him of the future. Amen. Let him know. You know what? Yeah, you know, I did some things that I shouldn't have done. But, you know, bless God, I'm going forward. I mean, I know where you're going. Amen. At one time, we're going to change lanes. You're going down, I'm going up. Amen. Praise God. Look what it says. In Proverbs 24:15, just one verse up, it says, it says, lie not in wait, the Amplified Bible, as a wicked man against the dwelling of the uncompromising righteous, the upright in right standing with God, destroy not his resting place. If there's one thing the devil tries to do is to destroy our resting place. He tries to take peace away. I believe that's one of his greatest attacks against the Christian is to take a peace away. Take that shalom. Take that. Jesus said, I don't give you the peace as the world does. I give you the peace that I have. that passes all understanding. Amen. Be a good steward. You know, God says that when we're going through problems, you know, when we go through problems, sometimes what we want to do is just talk about where everything we're going through. Our grievings and, you know, complaining and whining and bickering and why is this happening to me. God doesn't want to hear that. Amen. He wants to hear his word. Amen. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of what? All. Not just some of them. He's going to deliver us out of all, every affliction. Amen. He says, even though they be quiet, because the enemy is trying to destroy our resting place. He wants us to be unsettled. Remember the Bible says that when there's a spirit of confusion, there's every evil work. Where there's no peace, there's confusion, right? And so the enemy tries to put all that mess. Why? Because he wants to keep you confused, uneasy, unresting. The Bible says, rest in the Lord. He says, be still and know that I am God. He says, find rest in the Lord. He said, come to me and what? Find rest. We can come to God and find rest. Every time that we go through something, we can lean on to God and find rest. We can just lean on his bosom, right, in his word, and say, God, your word says. Your word says, Lord, that I can do all things through you. Lord, you get a financial challenge, what do? You stay in peace. I remember one man he's gone with the Lord. His wife would always get mad at him. Well, not get mad at him, but kind of like tell him stuff and say, don't you worry, we got to pay the bills, and don't you worry that we got to pay the light. And I think she was the one that handled the finances, and it's a little bit different when you handle the finances or not. And so he was saying, don't you care that we got to pay this, and don't you worry about this. And he just kind of looked at her like real peaceful. I mean, he had a lot of peace in his life. He said, woman, if I knew that getting worried and anxious and losing rest over it was going to pay my bills, I would have lost it a long time ago. The Bible says, don't worry for anything. Don't be anxious for anything. Your Father knows the things that you need of. He knows everything we need of. And I've gotten to the place where, you know, say, I just say, God, you're going to do it. My wife comes up to me and says, you know, the finances are not where we need to pay this bill. I say, well, we're just going to trust God. We're going to trust God. I have peace about it. You know what? I'm not going to worry about it. Because worry would take me out of my resting place. How can you go to bed and not worry about this and this? Watch me. Some people say, if I drink coffee at night, I can't sleep all night. I can drink coffee and still go to bed. Because the peace of penance, all understanding is inside of me. Amen? I could just go to bed. You know, it could be war going on, something going on. I won't know what's going on. Why? Because once I go to bed, I'm in my resting place. I rest in the Lord. Amen? And I know God's going to take care of me. Praise God. In Isaiah 32:17-18, remember the devil's after your peace. Amen? Devil can't have what you don't give him. Amen? I believe it was it you, Pastor Jack, that was teaching not too long ago in the World Rally a couple of years where you were talking about how the devil tries to take your anointing, robs your anointing. It was you or somebody else that was teaching on that. How? Why? Because he wants to get you unsettled. Why? Because he understands if he can take the anointing, then you're powerless and you can't do anything against it. Amen. So you got to protect. It was something about protecting your anointing. Maybe it was somebody else. Amen. But it was talking about protecting. You got to protect the anointing. And in one of those areas is staying in rest. Amen. It's here. It says here in verse 17, and the effect of righteousness, the effect of knowing righteousness, right? He said, will be peace, right? The Amplified says there will be peace in internal and external. How many of you got to have a peace within first? Amen. It has to be here first before it can manifest out here. You see, but a lot of times we're trying to find peace out here and we don't have it in here. Amen. If you have peace in here first, it doesn't matter where you're at. You'll have peace all the time. Somebody said, well, I need to go to the beach just to relax and have some peace about all this. You don't have to go to the beach to just have peace. You can have peace right there where you're at if you have that internal peace. Well, I just need, for us a little bit older, remember that commercial Calgon for the ladies, right? Every time they were stressed out or something, what do you say? Calgon, take me. And next thing you know, they see another show, and they're in a bathtub with bubbles. Calgon, take me away. If I just had that soap that they put on commercials, I could have some peace. We have the peace of God in us. The Bible says, let the peace of God, what? Rule your heart. Let the shalom. Have rest. Amen? Praise God. He said, the effect of righteousness will be peace, internal and external. And the result of righteousness will be what? Quietness and confident trust forever. You can trust in the Lord forever. You're confident. But doesn't it tell us in Hebrews chapter 10:35? He says, cast not away your what? Confidence, right? Cast not away your confidence, that which has what? Reward. But you need it of what? Patience. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Cast not away your confidence. See, the enemy wants you to cast away your confidence and to let go by what? By being uneasy, unrestful, amen? Restless, amen? Uneasy in the things of God, but you stand your ground, amen? You don't fall out, you stand your ground. And you tell the devil, you know what? I'm not going to lose sleep over it. Amen? Why? Because I know God will take care of me. My God shall supply all of my needs. If you got sick in your body, you say, Lord, you said that you heal all my body. Amen? And took care of all my diseases. There's not a disease that can come on me, Lord, because you've already taken care of it. You have peace in the Lord. Amen? And he says here, you have quietness. You can stay, you can have war going on, and you're quiet. Somebody can be yelling at you from the head to the toes, toes to the head, and you just be quiet. It doesn't faze you. It doesn't bother you. Remember how I said this morning about Psalm 119, 165? They that love thy word shall what? Great peace have they, right? They love thy word. Nothing. What does nothing mean? Nothing. Nothing shall offend them. When you walk in that great peace of God, that peace of God inside of you, nothing can offend you no more. It's like dead man walking. You're a dead man. I mean, you're dead to the things of the world. They don't bother you no more. Well, don't you care that they told you this and they talked about you like that? I'm a new man in Christ. All things have passed. All things become new. Now, you can allow it if you want. Amen. Because a lot of people say, well, they haven't changed. Well, they haven't changed because they don't want to change. But they can't change. I remember telling my mother-in-law one time, my mother-in-law used to yell a lot. Amen. I don't know if she yells in heaven, but I know she used to yell here a lot. And I showed her a scripture where the Bible says, let go of all yelling. Because her saying was, this is the way I am and this is the way I'm going to die. And I said, but that's not the way it is when you're born again Christian. When you give your life to Jesus, all things change. And you got to allow things to change. The Bible says, put off the old man and put on the new man. Right? So we got to make a choice. Well, just take it away, God. And God says, no, 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 no. You got to do it. That's your job. Amen? I've given you the tools. I've given you the equipment. I've given you the word. Now it's your job to apply the word into your life. Amen? Because you have people say, why can't I? I don't know why God don't change me. No, it's not that God don't want to change you. God already changed you by his word. The Bible said we would have been washed by the word. Amen? We've already been saved. I remember my wife used to say, and I did the same thing. Amen? My wife said every Saturday she would party, and every Sunday she would give her life to Jesus. Now, maybe you didn't do that, but that was my wife. And I was the same way. Every time I did something wrong, I felt like I needed to repent. Not only repent, but give my life to Jesus again. Because the enemy would bombard me and say, maybe you're not saved. Maybe I'm not saved. Right? Maybe I'm not born again. But I had a misunderstanding of what was to be born again. Amen? And the pastor just said a little while ago, it wasn't that your soul got saved. It was your spirit. Your spirit gets saved. But the soul, it's a different matter. We got to work at it. That's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation. You got to work at it. And it's a challenge. Amen? Because especially in these last days, especially with everything that's going on, you're going to be put to the challenge. And all everything that's in your soul wants to do opposite. But remember Jesus, when he was at the last prayer that he was having, and he's praying to God, right? For a moment in time, remember he said he was tempted in all things, but yet he was without sin, right? In other words, he had the same opportunity to fall, but he chose not to fall. Amen? Well, that was Jesus. Well, you understand that Jesus was just as man as anybody else. He didn't hold on and make himself equal to God and say, well, I'm God and nothing can touch me. He became flesh like anybody else. He felt everything. He felt anguish. He felt everything. Amen? The Bible says he was tempted in anything. There's nothing he was tempted in, and yet he was not without sin. In a moment of time, I tell the church, remember when he says, Father, if it be possible, take this cup away from me. There was a temptation to want to say, give up and say, you know what, forget this. Why? Because he knew what was ahead. after his prayer. He knew what was going to happen to him right afterwards, right? And what did he say? But Father, nevertheless, not my will, not what I want, Lord, but your will be done in my life. Let it be however you want, Lord. I mean, this is what I want to do. I want to get up and leave, but Lord, not what I want, whatever you want. Why? Because he knew he was in the Word. Amen. He found himself in the Word, the Bible says. Amen. So he says, it will be quietness and confidence, trust forever. He says, my people shall dwell in peaceable habitations, in safe dwellings, and in quiet resting places. That's what we got to be in. Amen. In Proverbs, let me read what the Message Bible says in that same Proverbs 24, 15, and 16. He says, don't interfere with good people's lives, righteous lives. Amen. Don't try to get the best of them. No matter how many times you trip them up, God's loyal people don't stay down long. How many of us don't stay long? We don't stay down long. Amen. There's a motto that's out there that says, right, winners never quit and quitters never win. Look, we're winners. I always give them the illustration, and my family laughs when I do it. Amen. Because anybody seen the movie Nacho Libre? Where the guy's in the restroom and he just fought the fight and they paid him to lose because he would lose every time. And he tells to that guy, what's his name? Ignacio, what's his name? The skinny guy, what's his name? Esqueleto, okay, they call him Esqueleto, right? And he says, you know what, I'm tired. He said, I want to win. And what he says, I'm tired of losing. I want to win. Amen. Don't you ever get tired of losing in some things? You know that we've been programmed to win? I don't know about you, but I like to win. I like to win. I play games. I play with intensity to win. And if I don't win, I'm not a happy camper. It's built in our DNA. God made us to win. Right? You know, there was a football player that how they visit the hospitals and part of the curriculum is to go visit people in the hospitals that are sick, little boy babies or whatever. And so he was playing a game. One of these NFL players was playing a game with one of the kids, right, that had leukemia. And they were playing football. It was football, and they were playing. And so the guy kept beating him in every game. Beat him big time on the game. And everybody was, oh, you're so mean. Dude. You should have given him a chance, and you should have. He says, I'm not going to do that. He said, because I bet you anything, a lot of times they have pity for them. He said, I don't want to show pity. I want him to get up from that. I want to challenge him to do, he can do it, that he can become better. If I just give in to what he's doing, then I'm not doing him any good. And that's exactly what we got to do as Christians, amen? We got to press through, amen? We got to bring the game, amen, to win. He says, God's loyal people don't stay down long, amen? Soon they'll be up on their feet. And the last verse is, for the wicked will end up flat on their face. I mean, at the end, the enemy is going to fall down. That's what happened with David and Goliath. When Goliath says, I'm going to feed you, I'm going to kill you, David said, no, today. God will give me the victory. As long that slingshot, the rock hit him right in the forehead, where do you go? Forward. The Bible says that David ran and cut his head off quick. They want a victory, major victory, amen? God will give us victories, amen? And there's one thing, amen, I wrote down, if there's one thing that knocks out your faith and your peace, amen, it's going to be your murmuring, complaining, and your bickering. The reason the people of God didn't go into the promised land wasn't because God didn't want them to go in there. It was because of the murmuring, complaining, and bickering. They always complain about it. They were always whining about it. What is this going on? What is this? Why? Well, Lord, you brought us here. Remember I told you he took them to the bitter waters? Amen. And after they were going to drink it, they found out it was bitter, and they started complaining against God. And saying, God, what happened? Amen. But the reason God took them with us was to prove, to show them what was in their heart. They still didn't get it. They still didn't understand. They still didn't have a trust for God. Amen? And God was teaching them some things. But they never got it. Some of them never got it. So finally God said, you know what? You want to die? And it's not that God killed them. It was their own confession of their mouth. They said, we're going to die in our desert. Our kids are going to die in the desert. And God said, look, whatever you say, I'm going to give you. And it's in Numbers 14:28. God said, tell Moses. Moses said, God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, tell the people, whatever they say is what I'll give them. You got to be careful what you're saying, what comes out of your mouth. Amen? So if all you're doing is murmuring and complaining, guess what you're going to get? All that mess you're saying. I just can't. We need to change that word can't to can. I can do all things. All things are possible. Amen. God will make a way. God will provide. God will make a way where there is no way. But I got to trust God. Amen. In other words, I got to stand my ground. Amen. Not back down. So murmuring, complaining. Amen. I wrote this down. Murmuring is a soft, low, or indistinct sound produced by a person. Murmuring. You know what? Under the breath. You know, some people do that. You ask them to do something, they turn off. What did you say? I didn't say anything. It happens again in the parents, right, with the children. You ask the children to go clean the room. What did you say? Oh, no, nothing. Happens with their husbands and wives too, right? Hey, can you go get this? You go do that. No. It's that murmuring, right? Real soft. Amen. That happens. Complaining is to express dissatisfactions or annoyance about a current situation. Amen. Complaining expresses a dissatisfaction or annoyance about a current situation. People complain. Amen. About what's going on right now. Complain. Instead of saying, God, your word says. Your word declares. I want to declare what you say, not what the devil is telling me, or what the devil is doing. I want to declare the goodness and the greatness of the Lord. That's what I want to declare. Amen. I want to profess what God says to profess. Amen. And if I don't got nothing better to say, then I won't say anything at all. That's what David said. While the enemy was before me, he said, I kept my mouth shut. Sometimes we got to learn how to keep our mouth shut. Amen. People can save themselves a lot of trouble by keeping their mouth shut. And that's the hardest thing to do sometimes, right? Keep your mouth shut. Well, I just got to tell them what it is. No, you don't. Tell them what the word says. Amen. But don't use the word to your advantage either. Amen. Say what the word says, but in the truth of the word. Amen. Complaining, again, expresses dissatisfaction or annoyance about a certain situation. People get mad because they don't have money. Start complaining. Well, I don't got money to pay my bill. Pastor, you're asking us to give more. I don't have it. Amen. I was sharing one time how an illustration of a woman that her child came up to her and asked her for food, and she didn't have the money to buy her food. She said, I don't have money to buy you food. And about 5 minutes later, she gets a call on the phone saying that one of her sons had been caught doing wrong, and it was in the county jail and was going to be taken further up if she didn't come up with $500. She went and got $500 out of somewhere. But she didn't have $500 at one moment to give her child something to eat. Amen. What? But something desperate caused her to do it. Amen. She was expression of dissatisfaction, annoyance of a current situation, complaining, murmuring. Said, no, I'm not going to allow it to affect my life. See, you stay in peace. Amen. And then the last one is bickering. It says, is to argue over petty things. Have you ever argued over petty things? Over small little things? We'll fight over the smallest little things. I know it doesn't happen in this church. It happens a lot over there, but not here. Right? Over little things. Oh, it's too hot in here. Not just. Sister Rebecca came and said, oh, I'm sorry. Do you want a fan up here? He said, yeah, it's perfectly good. Pastor was just saying it was 79 in here. This is perfect weather for us. When you're living in Harlingen, it's 105, and it feels 110 with the index. This is nice weather for us. My kid is, amen. I'll tell him, this is nicer. Amen. So you know, this bickering is that, you know what, petty over little petty things. You put too much salt in my food. We'll fight over little things like that. We'll fight about where we're going to go out and eat. I was telling them at church, I said, bickering also, you know how, bickering is also that you do something before it happens, and it happens amongst the children. You know what I'm saying? We're going to go out to eat. I got the first share. I'm in the front. Bickering over the little, who's going to sit in the front? Shotgun. Soon as we get to the house, I'm the first to go to the restroom. Shotgun. No, I'm going to go first. And so what do they do? As soon as they get out the door, everybody's running. I'm not telling on my kids, right? But it happens, right? That little bickering, petty things. You see, and what seems nothing as a big deal, it is a big deal. Because those things start little strife. The Bible says the small foxes, right? That stir up big things. I mean, it don't take big, forest fires don't start because a big fire started. It all started because of a match or lightning. Something small, and acres are burnt down. Amen. How many lives are destroyed because one simple little thing? A little bickering. You know, you can have a fun time in church. Amen. And then all of a sudden you walk out and something they said or something that somebody said, it throws off your day. Why did you allow it to throw you off? Right? Remember what I told you? The devil's trying to take your rest, trying to take your joy. And next thing you're all frustrated, you're all grumpy. Amen. I know Pastor Colin told us the other day, and you probably heard him say it. He said that the man woke up and or somebody asked him, I said, did you wake up grumpy? He said, no, I let her get up by herself. Amen. That's Pastor Callahan told us that one. He said, I let her wake up by herself. No. But that's not what we do, amen. Again, it's to argue over little things. Things that are of little or no importance. Amen. Things that are little of no importance. There's no importance. You know, you can make something little and make it big. Make a big problem out of nothing. And instead of, you know what, just douse it. You know what? I'm not going to. You want to be the first one? Go ahead and be the first one. You want that? Go ahead and get it. That's okay. It don't bother me. Amen. Why are we going to fight over it? You know, the Bible says the last shall be what? And the first shall be what? You know, when we serve the foods and sometimes in the barbecues and all that, I tell people, yeah, go ahead and go get it. Whatever you want. And so they'll go up in first. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because the first ones, really, pretty much, they got to be considerate of the others that are coming behind them. So they can't really serve themselves too much unless they're greedy, right? But if they're considerate, they'll serve themselves a little bit. Why? Because they're trying to save some for the ones that are coming behind them. But the ones that are last, they don't have to consider nobody else. Why? Because everybody's already gone through. So now you get to get whatever you want. I mean, that's the way I see it. So you got to enjoy life, amen? Again, petty things that are little of no importance. In other words, travail matters. They make a fuss about something that is not worth the time. See, the devil wants us to concentrate on what's going on when we're here that we focus on what God's trying to do over here. He tries to distract us with what's going on over here instead of over here. Amen? And we got to stay focused. We got to have our eyes set to what God is calling us to do. Amen? You can't have a train, you know. A train has to stay on the track. If not, it derails itself. I mean, we've seen a lot of that on the news. Tracks, the trains that have derailed, and they find out they were going too fast or something happened or somebody put something there and it caused the train to jump out of the track. Why? Because it's not made to go run on the other side of the track. It's made to run on the track. That's what its purpose is for. Amen? It can't run. You can't put a train on the street and a highway and let it run. It ain't going to run too good. It's going to destroy the whole city or the street. But it has its tracks, and it's got its purpose. The same thing with us. We have to find our purpose in life and then follow that and stay in our assignment, amen? Again, they make a best fuss about all those things, amen? Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Because murmuring, complaining, and bickering is the opposite of thanksgiving. You know the Bible says in the Deuteronomy 28, when it talks about the curses, he said, those things came on you also because you did not know how to rejoice and give thanks to the Lord. How many we got to be thankful for the Lord? Well, if I had more, I would be thankful. Be thankful for you. Paul said, I'm content in whatever stage I'm at. Amen. And if you want more, ask God. And he said, he'll give you richly to enjoy. Amen. When we started walking faith, I was sharing with you a little bit in the morning. One of the things we let go was selling chickens. We sell chickens every month, period. Amen. We will sell chickens every month. Every first week of the month, at the end of the month. Why? Because we knew that's when the people had money. Or at the beginning, right at the beginning, we knew people had money. So we would sell chickens or brisket or whatever. We did it for a long time. And one of the things we did when we became pastors and we learned about faith, I told my wife, we're not going to sell chicken plates no more. That's it. We're going to trust God. You know why? Because we got to the point where people were complaining, well, I got to buy this, I got to buy that. And they were always whining and complaining about everything they had to do. And it wasn't a big thing, but they made it a big thing. And it became a big old strife and everything. And I said, I don't want that mess in our church. I want them to be happy. So I liberated them. I said, well, I liberated actually the chicken, not the people. A lot of chicken will thank me later. Amen. And so we decided. So my wife says, you know what? Let's do it one more time. And we will get food stamps. Yeah. We would get food stamps, and we got a good amount at that time. Of course, we were learning, you know, how to walk by faith. And so my wife, one of the first things she goes into the oven and says, "We don't want no more food stamps." I mean, they thought she was crazy. And the guy was kind of persistent, right, for you to take them. And she says, "We don't want no more food stamps. We're gonna let them go." And so the guy was like, "Are you sure?" "Yeah." Well, they said, "We're still gonna send you." And so they send her what, one more month? Yeah, nobody does that. Okay, we're still gonna send you this month. Oh yeah, that wasn't a contract. I'm sorry. Anyway, so she says, my wife comes up with this idea and says, "Well, let's do one more barbecue sale. But we'll put all our food stamps. We won't bother the people so they won't complain. We'll do this." And I said, "Okay, we'll do it. Go ahead." It became a big old mess. God taught us, you know, was teaching us, you know, you learn to live by faith. Amen. And my wife said, "I will never do that again." And you know what? For the last, since we took over, it has been 16 years. Other than that one incident, we have never had to sell plates. Now, we're not at the place we want to be yet, but we're a whole lot better than what we were. We've learned some things. In fact, now people looked out to us and they say, "How do you guys do it?" I said, "No, this is how we do it." He said, "We walk by faith." Yeah. A lot of churches stopped doing the same thing, started living by faith. And so just before we came up here, my sister, one of my sisters, she's been going through some stuff, struggling financially. And, you know, she's coming to church. She's sitting under the teaching. She's hearing the teaching. And she even tells me, "I'm listening to everything you say." I say, "It's good that you're listening, but now you got to apply what you're listening to." And I hear her complaining, and she's bickering about what's going on. I said, "Look, I'm going to tell you straightforward." He said, "I know you're not going to like it, but I'm going to tell you the truth." It's the truth. I've been telling you the truth, but I want to tell you. He said, "You need to start doing this. You need to start being a tither and a giver. And you watch what God does in your life." And I gave her examples of my life and how we walk by faith. And I told her everything that God did for us in 1 week. We couldn't have done it ourselves, but God did. Amen? Like Pastor was saying, and I shared with you this morning, we're here because we're walking by faith. Amen? Amen? And God's brought us here because we're walking by faith. Amen? We're like what the prophet said. He said, Ebenezer, right, in English? He said, because to here, the Lord has been with us. Right up to here, the Lord's been with us. Amen? And God's been with us all this, right to this place. Amen? In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 7, he says, let your roots grow down into who? To God. In other words, your trust. And let your life be built on him. Don't build your life other than him. Amen? Then your faith, he says, will grow strong in truth as you were taught. Amen? As you allow yourself, the roots to grow down in you, amen, and you allow your life to be built on him, then your faith will grow stronger or strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with what? Thankfulness. Why? Because when you start applying faith and working your faith that you've been taught, he says, you're going to see things happening. And it's going to produce the fruits of what? Thankfulness. It's going to bring gratitude. You say, wow, thank you, Jesus. Amen. He says, you're deeply rooted in him. You've been constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith, the Message Bible says. You know your way. You know where the answer's at. It's in faith. No other way but faith. Amen. You stand your ground. You don't back down. Now that you've been taught, he says, school's out. I like that. He says, quit studying the subject and start living it now. See, we've been too long being hearers and hearers and hearers. And God says, not the hearers, the doer of the word. Be a doer of it. Now start applying what you've been hearing for years. He said, not just now, okay, school's out. I mean, I don't like that he says quit studying. You should never quit studying, number one. Amen. We are ever learning. Amen. We have not arrived. I like what Apostle said. He said, when somebody says, I know everything about faith, you need to stop listening to that person. Because they really don't know faith. Faith is continuum. We're never going to arrive. We're going to keep living faith. Amen. And look what it says. So start living it and let your life spill over into thanksgiving. Let it produce thanksgiving in your life. Practice thanking God instead of murmuring, complaining, and bickering, and watch what God will do for you. Instead of complaining about everything, start thanking God. Say, God, thank you. I'm not telling you if you broke your leg, say, thank you, Lord, because I have a broken leg. If you get a sickness in your battle, I mean, sickness in your body, you're going through a battle, don't say, well, Lord, I want to thank you because sickness came in my body. No, no. You say, Lord, I thank you because you're giving me the healing power through your word to get manifestation in my life. Lord, I thank you that you heal me. You're not thanking God for destruction. You're thanking God because he's going to take you out of the destruction. Amen. If you're going through a financial rump, don't say, well, yeah, Lord, this is what I deserve it. No, no. You say, Lord, I thank you that you provided provision. Lord, you already have me, or you have already provided the money for me to take care of this. Amen. People, like I said, people marvel and they say, how do you guys do? We just live by faith. This is what I say. I do what Jesse the Planet said one time. When he got bills, he says, God, you got bills? You got mail, right? That's what I tell God. God, here you go. And I just wait on God. And we've seen it happen time after time. In this 16 years, we've seen God move every time. It almost seems sometimes that it's not going to come through, but it always comes through. And it's because we stand in faith. We walk. We stand our ground. Amen. We don't bow down to the devil. The devil has to bow down to what the Word of God says. Amen. And that's how we defeat the enemy. Amen. Like I said in the morning, when we get attacked, we should counterattack. Amen. When the enemy tries to stop you, you keep moving. Don't let him hold you down. He don't have the final word. God has the final word. Amen. You stand your ground, you don't back down. Amen. And you tell the devil, amen, through the Word of God. Again, understand that every setback, amen, is getting you ready for a comeback. Don't let it just be a setback. Well, forget this. I tried it. Don't let it be a setup for a comeback and say, I'm going to come stronger. I'm going to come at you stronger. I'm going to be like that little Billy goat. I'm going to hit you again. I'm going to hit you again. And I'm going to hit you again until I make you move. Amen? In other words, the devil has to see that you're steadfast in your faith. Amen? And not only him, but you yourself, and God sees it in you, that you fight the good fight of faith. You lay hold of eternal life. Amen? In other words, start with an attitude of gratitude. Amen? I wrote this down, and it will take you to a higher levels of altitudes. Amen? Or attitudes. Again, don't let your setback keep you back. Amen? Don't back down. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. In these last days, you're going to have to stand your ground. There's going to be a lot of opposition, but you know what? It doesn't matter the opposition. God is with us. The same power that resurrected Jesus is the same power that lives and resides in us, right? That's what the Word says. So there's no weapon formed against us that can prosper. Amen? And every tongue that rises up against it, the Bible says, we shall what? Condemn. We have authority over that. Oh, we're going to take your church. You can't take the church. I tell people, you can't fire me. You didn't hire me. I've had people try to do those things. Well, we're just going to try to get you. They tried for years. It took, you know, when I first started being in ministry as a pastor, 2 years later, the devil really hit it hard. One of our first trials, the enemy came against us. And I went to a church, and then I went to visit a pastor to talk, just to kind of talk. And he said, I'm going to another church. Come with me. So I went, and when I was there, they were ministry. It was already at the end of the service. And the guy didn't know me. He was a young guy, but he was used by the Lord. And he called me out, and he spoke some words of life into my spirit, man, that I needed to hear. And he said, the devil's been trying. He said, there's people looking at your church. They're looking at your, he didn't know I was pastor. But he goes, there's people looking at you, and they're waiting for the church to shut down. That was 2 years into the ministry. They're waiting for your church to shut down. They're just waiting and looking. He said, but God says, I'm the one that opened the door. They can't shut it. Amen. And here we are 16 years. By the glory of God. Amen. Why? Because we stood our ground. We didn't back down. Now, the opportunities have been there. Don't be mistaken. There was an opportunity where I said, sometimes the desire of the flesh will get the best of me and say, oh, I'm going to call Pastor Conningham and say, you know what, Pastor? That's it. But I know the answer. Amen. I said, I'll take it to the Lord. And we'll live to fight another day. Amen. We'll live to fight another day. Devil, you came at me once. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to come against you. And he's tried for 16 years. The Bible said that when he left Jesus after tempting him, he said he left him for what? A season. In other words, the enemy will come back. Just because you get a major victory does not mean the devil says, okay, that's it. I can't touch him no more. No, he's going to come back and come back and come back. Amen. Just like what I think was Kenny Hagin, one of those pastors said that a woman said, Pastor, will you pray for me? He said, what do you need prayer for? Maybe Pastor Jack will remember. He said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me that the devil gets off my back. And what did the pastor say? He says, woman, for me to pray for that, he said, I have to pray that God kill you or that you die. Not kill you, but you die. And then the way that way the devil can leave you alone. As long as we're alive, the devil will try. Amen? But we have the upper hand. Amen? Stand your ground. Don't back down. Especially in these last days. Don't back down. Fight the good fight of faith. And you watch what God is going to do. I believe God is going to do great things in our church. Greater things than we've seen before. Amen? It's just like I told my wife one time and my daughters. I said, I see it. I know it. That's why the enemy is fighting so hard. And that's why we should rejoice and say, okay, devil, you're trying to do this? Okay, I know God got something better. God is setting up for something greater than ever than we have ever seen. And we, you can almost sense it, touch it, right? The glory and the presence of God, the what God is going to do in the church. That's going to be an outbreak, an outpouring. A man said that everything that's been going on generation through generation and things that happen here and there, he said God is going to combine it all in one. And it's going to happen all in one. If the devil thought that one little thing was given half, so he said he's going to put them all together and just mess the devil up big time in this last day. And we're part of that. Praise God. We're part of that revival. We're part of that glory of God that's coming forth. Amen. But we got to be prepared. And God is getting us prepared. That's why God has us on these messages and all these things that God has been doing with Pastor Jack and Pastor Apostle Cunningham and all everybody. If you hear them, you see what God is getting us ready, getting us prepared, getting his church ready for what's going to come. Not for all that mess that the world is doing, but what God has us prepared to do in this end time. Amen? And we got to be ready for it. Be ready to do it so that when the Bible says, or when we say the song, right? If he calls me, I'm ready. I'm ready. Are you ready? Amen. Praise God. Well, let's stand. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I told you this morning that I wanted to pray. Amen. This night. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16 that after they ministered the word, God confirmed his word with what? Signs and wonders. And I believe that God is in this place and God is here to heal, deliver, restore. Amen. It doesn't matter what you have. God can take care of it if you just come with an attitude of faith. Amen. So, Pastor, you want us to got some music or anything?